is time once again for another podcast in the series of Music 112A Online Spring 2020 version. Thanks for your homeworks on that page 243 analysis. I will be reviewing that in the next podcast. For today, we're starting off on page 348 in your Lates text with the introduction of the submediant. That's the six chord. There's one and six. So in a major key, the six chord is minor. One, six is minor. In a minor key, six is a major chord. The use of the submediant chord, the six chord, can be linked back to the three basic root motions of tonal music. So we have talked about the descending fifth motion. So in the key of G, five to one demonstrates the descending fifth motion. Notice that the bass can sometimes be an ascending fourth. But we generally speak of the descending fifth motion. We've also talked about the ascending second motion. So if we think of four moving to five, the bass is moving up by step from the four to the five. Ascending second motion there. And then finally, now we're talking about the descending third motion. So if you think of one moving to six, that is the descending third motion. Let's take a look at example 13.2 on page 349. I'm going to play exactly what's here. Or with the top part in there too. Where would 1950s rock and roll be without that progression? The old 1-6-4-5. You may know it as Heart and Soul, which I will not play for you. So if we look what happens in this motion, 1-6. Then finally, when we get to the four, there's your predominant, and five is the dominant. We can think of one to six as being kind of a stopover place on the way to the four, which is the predominant. So the progression is really one, predominant, dominant. We can think of the six as being kind of a way station or bridge. Sometimes we think of a bridging function. And if you look at that example A, 13.2A that I've been playing through, notice in the second level, the long arrow connecting the T to the PD that subsumes the sixth chord. So we think of this as kind of extending the one chord or bridging the function to the predominant. Sometimes my clever students have said, well, if the six comes before a predominant, its function should be, yeah, you got it, predominant. And that's kind of funny to think about, and we don't normally use that term, but you can think of that too. I think usually we will use this arrow notation as tonic, and then the six chord being a bridge to the predominant. Notice that the one chord is very close in spelling to the six chord, only one note different. So since it has two-thirds of the same harmony, that tonic function is still kind of still there. kind of not there too. Then finally predominant and moving on to dominant. Same thing in minor. This is example 13.2b. 1, 6. Notice the major quality of the sixth chord in minor. Bridging on the way to predominant function, dominant, tonic. So let's look at some examples here. We're going to first look at example 13. I already did that. Let's go to 13.3. This is going to show you how we're using six as an extension of the descending fifths motion. Here's what I mean by that. Read this example from the end back to the beginning. We start with the one chord. This is example 13.3 on page 350. Key of F now. Start by thinking about the one, and now we're going to have a series of chords that work their way towards the one. So if we start with the good old descending fifths motion, that would be a 5-1. That is the strongest possible root motion that we have in tonal music. Well, if it's such a strong root motion to get from 5 to 1, we could use it to get to 5. So if you think of a fifth above 5, here we're in the key of F, 5 is C, a fifth above C would be 2. 2 moving to 5 is also a very strong motion. So we can have the 2 chord moving to 5, and then the 5 moving to 1. Sometimes, in order to avoid running out of space, we'll put the 2 below the 5 and do it like that. 2, moving to 5, moving to 1. Anybody who's learned jazz has probably spent many hours, as I did at one point, practicing 2-5-1 progressions and putting them into songs. Etc. So 2 moving to 5 to 1 is 2 links in that chain of the descending fifths motion. Well, if it worked for 2 going to 5, what would be another fifth moving into the 2 chord? That's right. It would be 6 moving to 2, which can move to 5, which can move to 1. All links in the chain of descending fifths motions. So now we have 6 to 2 to 5 to 1. Or as it's written in example 13.3, 6, 2, 5, 1. It's like Fly Me to the Moon. Got a little carried away there. So 6 to 2 to 5 to 1 is an example of the sixth chord used as part of the descending fifths motion. Let's go on to example 13.4. I'm going to try to figure out, I haven't done it yet, I'm going to try to figure out how to insert into this podcast the actual example with the violin and piano of example 13.4. from the Beethoven Spring Sonata for violin and piano. Let's hang on a second while I figure that out. Okay, so here's example 13.4, the actual version in the text.
13.4.
And now let's take a look a little more carefully at what happens in that example. So if we look at the chords, key of F, to six, two, 5-7, 5-4-2-1-6, 6-2-5-7-1. A lot going on there, and it's nobody would ever be listening to that. Everybody'd be listening to the beautiful violin line. But let's take a look. Key of F, 1. Descending thirds progression to 6. As like a bridging motion to the 2. Notice the long arrow in the sort of intermediate 1.5 level, not quite second level, connecting the 1 through the 6 to the 2, which is predominant. Top of the next page to 5-7. Now, be careful because 5-5-4-2, aha, were your expectations thwarted? Oh, I thought they might have been. So notice that we start tonic, bridging motion by thirds. 6-2 is that descending fifths motion. 2-5 is another descending fifths motion, but instead of having the structural cadence here, 5-4-2 moving to 1-6 avoids the cadence, and that means that what we have here is basically an EPM, as you can see on page 350 in the last measure on that page. So we have tonic, predominant, dominant, and then 5-4-2 to 1-6 isn't cadential, but it can still be considered a kind of a phrase model with the dominant tonic. So that's a perfect example of that embedded phrase model, or EPM. Now here we are on the 1-6 in measure 5-6-7, measure 8 of the example, 1-6. And then we move 6. That's again a descending root motion by third, but then 6-2-5-1. Descending fifths motions into the structural cadence here. Notice that if you look back at the top of the example where it says on page 350, example 13.4, 6 within an EPM and as part of the structural cadence. So we've used the 6 in two different ways within this single phrase. Beautifully done. I really love that that passage. One other thing to just remark on that. We start with a very slow harmonic rhythm. 1, 2 whole measures of 1. Now each of these chords getting a long time. 5, still 5, 1-6. Now listen to how the harmonic motion is sped up. 6-2-5-1. That's a typical thing you'll see in Beethoven and other composers of the classical period. 1, slow harmonic motion. 10 to speed up the harmonic motion as you're gathering momentum going into the cadence. Very, very typical. Okay, so that's example 13.4. Now we're going to look at 13.5, which is another version of this 1 moving to 6. But notice how on this one, let's look at the bass line. Key of A major to 6, and then 6, instead of going to 2 in root position, goes to a 2-6 chord, and then to 5 and to 1, 1, 6, 2-6. So notice we have descending thirds in the bass. But actually, when we move to the from the 6 to the 2-6, it's a descending fifth by root motion. The root of 6 to the root of 2. But the root of 6 to the base of 2-6 is by thirds. So base arpeggiation by third, but root motion from 6 to 2 to 5 to 1. Again, I should insert the actual example. And I'll try to do that. I'm thinking of planning ahead on how to do that on the podcast. I guess I have to stop and start again.
13.5.
And now we're going to turn to a very important usage of the ascending seconds progression, which is part of what we call the deceptive motion, or can even be a deceptive cadence, which is when you move from 5 to 6. Let's listen to example 13.6.
13.6.
So in this example, we're in the key of D. And here we've arrived at the 5 chord. But instead of the expected 1, we move to 6. Again, thwarting expectations of the dominant resolving to the tonic. Instead of, it's going to go in a beautiful way by Haydn in that string quartet. This we call a deceptive motion when you've set up the 5 chord to seem like it's going to be cadencing. In this case, notice that there's a cadential 6-4 moving to 5. And then the 5, rather than moving to 1, moves up a second to the 6 chord. That's a major second if it's in a major key, and a minor second if it's in a minor key. So moving from 5, where you expect 5 moving to 1, but instead you get 5 moving to 6, we call that deceptive motion. And it might be a deceptive cadence if it was actually at a cadence rather than being in the middle of a phrase. Let's check out what happens in example 13.7.
13.7.
And notice that in this one, in measure 4, well, I'll play from the beginning. There's a deceptive motion of 5 moving to 6, and then 5 to 6 again. And notice how in the second level here, or actually in the intermediate level, it says D moving to quotes T. It's not really moving to tonic. And again, that's one of these EPMs. But after that 5 to 6 deceptive motion, then we finally get our structural predominant. 2-7, 5-7, to 1. So again, 5 moving to 6, deceptive motion there. Finally, we're going to look at the submediant or 6 chord as part of a predominant. If the 6 moves to 5 and then to 1. So now instead of 6 moving to 2, or 6 moving to 4, or having 6 move directly to 5, 6 to 5, and then to 1. Obviously, this is a 13.8 that I'm playing. Obviously, the 5 to 1 is dominant to tonic. And so then what's the chord that comes before the dominant? Got to be the predominant. But in this case, it's the 6 being used as a predominant. 6, 5, 1. I'm going to now insert example 13.8, both A and B.
13.8 A.
B. So there are the various ways of thinking about the use of the 6 chord as linked with this idea of the basic root motions, the descending fifth, 6, 2, 5, 1. The ascending second, 5 moving to 6 as part of a deceptive motion, and the descending third, 1 moving to 6. 1 moving to 6, descending third. 6, 2, 5, descending fifths, and 5 moving to 6, ascending second. We're now going to, starting at the bottom of 353, or really just moving over to 354, we're going to talk about voice leading, and you know what that means. It's part writing time, everybody. And so here we go. Sorry about that. Now, when using the 6 chord in part writing, there's an easy way to do it, and then there's also a complicated way. The easy way is when it's part of the descending thirds progression. I'm looking at page 354 now. So when you have 1 moving to 6 and then on to 4, notice the descending thirds. This part writing is darn easy, and you should never make a mistake in this, because when moving from 1 to 6, 2 of the 3 notes are going to be common tones. The B will stay put, the G will stay put, okay? And then we have to have the D moving to E in the tenor, and the G moving to down to E in the bass. But notice there will always be 2 common tones. And then again, when you move from 6 on to 4, you'll have 2 common tones, this time in the alto and tenor. So basically, when you have 2 common tones, keep them in the same voice. Okay? And that works in minor as well. So when you move from 1 to 6 or from 6 to 4, keep the common tones in the same voice. Move the other voice by step. Easy, easy, easy. Now, unfortunately, as easy as that is, the ascending seconds progression when 5 moving to 6 is a little bit complicated, because you have the potential for parallel fifths and parallel octaves. You also have the potential in minor for an augmented second. And so I would encourage you to read carefully page 354 and looking at the examples on 355, and look through those carefully, and particularly in minor, where we have 6 following 5, 5 moving to 6. If we look at example 13.10C, we're in G minor here. Six moving to 5, notice the doubled third. So we have A moving down to G, and F sharp also moving up to G. We end up with 2 G's in the chord, so it's a doubled third. That's a little unusual. But if the F sharp in the alto there had moved down to E flat instead of moving up to G, then it would have been an augmented second. Now bear in mind also that when you move from 5 to 6, in order to enhance the deceptive effect, it's best to use re do or T do in the soprano. So if I was going 5 to 6, here's key of G major. T do or re do. That works out the best if you can remember to do that when you do your part writing. So, two things to remember. When you move from 5 to 6, use 2 moving to 1 or 7 moving to 1 in the soprano voice whenever possible. And also, you normally end up with a doubled third on the 6th chord. Example 13:10b. This is in major, but notice we're still using that doubled third, T to do, and also re to do. Sometimes the doubled third is a unison, as here in example 13:10b between the soprano and alto. And then if we look at the next version of 13:10b, notice we have F sharp moving to G in the soprano and A moving to G in the tenor. Again, two thirds on the sixth chord. So most of the time, when you go from 5 to 6, you'll end up with a doubled third on the sixth chord. Look over also 13.11, which is the part writing of 6 when used as the predominant. So not 5 moving to 6, but 6 moving to 5, and you'll see there, same kind of thing, doubled third on the 5 chord. That's all the conceptual material for today's podcast. I'm trying to keep these to less than a half hour. Originally, I had in mind 15 minutes for these, but I'm just too much of a blabbermouth to do that. I'm looking through the workbook as I'm running my blabbermouth mouth here. Ah, here it is. Okay. Your homework for next time. That will be in the workbook on page 253. Take a look at that in the workbook examples. So 253, you're going to do example A and example C. Don't bother with example B. Now, a couple of things about this. First, in example A, notice that it says to start with scale degree 3 in the soprano voice. That's what that 3 with the hat or caret over it means. So this will be an A minor, and you'll have a C in the soprano to start that off. So let's look at the Roman numerals there. You've got 1, 7 diminished 7. Remember to consult your guidelines about 7 diminished 7. Back to 1. And then you have the progression in descending thirds. 1 to 6 to 4. Remember that the 6 will be major in a minor key. Okay? And just do your keep your two common tones in the same voice when you go from 1 to 6. Move the other voice by step. When you go from 6 to 4, keep your two common tones in the same voice. Move the other voice by step. And then you remember how to do the cadential 6-4, resolving to 5, and finally on to 1. So nothing too terrible on that one. In letter C, notice that it says the where if you look at the Roman numerals, you're going to go 1, 2, 4, 2, 5, 6, 5, and then 1 with a 9/8 suspension. Oh boy, have fun with that. And when you get to the 1 with a 9/8 suspension, you're going to have, as it indicates above the staff, you're going to have scale degree 3 in the soprano there. So you're going to have a G in the soprano because you're in E minor. Scale degree 3 in the soprano, and you'll have to figure out where the 9/8 suspension will go, but it won't be in the soprano. Then moving on, we have 5 moving to 6. That's a deceptive progression. and then on to the two diminished sixths, to five, to one, to close it out. Be very careful on that five to six. This will be, for many of you, your first opportunity to practice part writing for a deceptive progression. So remember, when you go from five to six, double the third of the sixth chord. You should have two pitch class E in that sixth chord. And watch out for parallel fifths, and watch out for parallel octaves, and watch out for the augmented second. So good luck with that one. I'll post the due date and all of that. And we'll see you next time for another podcast in our ever-expanding series of Music 112A Online. 1, 2, 3, 4.